The question was asked, could one or should one have more than one Rav? And I want to begin after the answer on an addendum note and work our way back, just because I think the addendum is more relevant to you guys than the answer. Sometimes there is necessity. Meaning, the question assumes a vacuum, a situation where I can have whatever I want. Sometimes you don't have that option. So I'm sidestepping the question for a minute, and I just want to point out a few things. You need a Rav which you can access. You move to a community, sometimes you move to a yeshiva, you don't feel like you have a connection with the Rav, you don't feel like there's anyone there who understands you, who you understand them, they might not know your history. So then, on the one hand, you're learning in a certain yeshiva, or you've joined a certain community. On the other hand, there might be many questions which you want to still ask the Rav who you're comfortable with, or who you know, or who knows you. That's legitimate. So whatever we're going to discuss in a minute is should be taken in that light. I think that you do need a local Rav because there are local shilas. You want to know which kashrus is okay. You're going to call the rabbi in the United States and ask him about the OU. He doesn't necessarily realize that the OU in Israel is very different than the OU in the United States and has different policies. So his answer is a great answer for the United States. That doesn't mean it's great for here. You need to know, can you rely on the Erev over here? The rabbi in the United States is not going to have the answer for you, etc. So that's why there are two needs. I'm saying before we discuss the question, I'm starting with the addendum. You need a Rav who answers your needs. In other words, accessible, and there's a rapport. You feel he understands you, you understand him. So that's a need. And then you also need a local Rav. And because of these two factors, you will sometimes need to have more than one Rav. All that being said, in an ideal world, in an ideal sense, a person should try to have one Rav. It's in a person's best interest that the Rav who he can ask his halachic shailas to will also be the Rav who he learns his hashkafa, his Jewish philosophy from, and his Tanakh from, and then a person becomes well-rounded. It's true. The Talmud and the halacha discusses that you learn from a Rebbe, and you learn from a Rebbe, and after you've milked him dry, then you go on to another Rebbe. Meaning there is that aspect that you take everything you can from one, and then you move on, and you get more. There is such a concept, and we find that people did it. In our day and age, most people don't milk their Rebbe dry. People don't stand there and learn from the Rebbe till the point that they really know everything he has to teach, etc. So that's not so relevant to most of us.
Well, you haven't been here long enough,
bro. It's what I'm saying. But if you're coming to share once in 2 weeks, then I hope I got more than that. But going back to the point, I'm saying there's an ideal world where in the ideal sense it's best if you have a Rebbe who can teach you everything. In a practical world, so we already mentioned two possible needs, there's a third possible need. Sometimes a person will end up in a community where he doesn't have a Rav he feels comfortable with. He doesn't have a shul he feels comfortable with. And then he's going to stay in contact with something else, but he's still going to need someone local. We had students who traveled to Chutz Lartz, and they were avid Zionists. So they called back to Mechon Meir and said, what do we do? We have to finish our degree or whatever it is. We're in this community where out here in Chutz Lartz, if we're going to join the Zionistic community, they're not serious about keeping Torah and mitzvos. If we join the community that's serious about keeping Torah and mitzvos, they're very anti-Zionist. They don't speak nicely about the idea of going to Israel. What are we supposed to do? So Rav Bigun said to them, you go to the community that's avid about keeping Torah and mitzvos. And you learn online. You keep your hashkafa with Machon Meir in other ways. We had students in Merkaz Harav who said, we feel like we'd learn much better in Panovich or Hebron, the yeshivas whose philosophy is what they call today Haredi. So Rav Avram Shapiro was the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz Harav. He said, if you think you'll learn better in Mir or Hebron or Panovich, go. You don't belong here. You could come here and learn our classes on Hashkafa, on Jewish thought. But you go where you could learn best. So sometimes life forces us to a corner where we have to have two rabbeim. And then it can get very tricky. There's one final possibility which I can think of. And that is that sometimes you have the reverse of what we've said until now. You have a rebbe who you want him to be your rebbe, but he's not accessible. You can get him once in, months. And you need someone who you can access, who you can ask all your shilas to. So then a person can say, look, the veto power, my rebbe, who I ask my major questions to, is so-and-so, whenever I can get a hold of him, or the questions I would ask him. And the rabbi, who's like the local practitioner, who I go to when, I need basic questions around here, will be so-and-so. So those are compromises. Again, the ideal would be to have one rebbe you could learn everything from. Practically, very often, we do need to make that compromise, and it's a compromise. It's also difficult because sometimes we give ourselves criterion. We say, in Hashkafa, he's my rebbe, and in Halacha, he's my rebbe. And then you come to a question, do I make Aliyah to Israel? Is that Hashkafa or Halacha? Right? Do I eat Rabbanut? Is that Hashkafa or Halacha? Do I go to the army? Is that Hashkafa or Halacha? You know, this is a question of life and death. So it's not so easy sometimes to delineate. That's one of the things you're supposed to avoid by having one rebbe who you could ask him everything. But sometimes in life we have to make compromises. I would recommend, if possible, it's always good if the two can be at peace with one another. If you can talk to one about the other and the other about one, that's always beneficial.